Blog Talk Radio.
Whenever Miss Ann gives me the sign, we're going live, and we'll take it until he gets here.
Okie dokie. Great.
Whatever happens is supposed to happen, and no one will know the difference. Well, good morning, and welcome to the Think and Grow Rich show led by the International Mastermind. My name is Galen Bingham. I'm the leadership strategist and CEO of Kill Global Coaching and Consulting. But every week I get to hang out with some amazing friends as I share our mastermind group with you, and today is no different. Today we are going to be focused on an amazing chapter on organized planning, which is part of Napoleon Hill's classic Think and Grow Rich. And I am just really, really excited about this chapter in particular, because we talk about all the other chapters, all the other steps and the principles, but organized planning is the thing that brings your desire together, it brings it to life, and that's going to be the focus of this chapter. But before we jump in, because it's easy for me to get excited and just go straight in, I want to introduce you to not only my co-hosts, but these are folks that I mastermind with on a weekly basis, sometimes twice a week, and it's just really, really a treat for me to get to hang out with them on this show. So first, I want to introduce Ms. Ursula Odom, founder of Sula 2, which is, I love the name of her company. So Ursula, please come into the conversation and share a little bit about you and what you're excited about for this particular conversation.
Good morning, Galen, and good morning, everyone. I am excited about this chapter because it is what brings it all together. And yes, I am the CEO of Sula 2, and we make old new in everything that we do. And I love the fact that you love the name, because it's in honor of my grandmother. Her name was Ursula, and they called her Sula, and I am Ursula, and I am Sula too.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
I love it. I love it. And definitely check out Ursula's work. She is amazing. Anything that you're needing to do to bring your legacy to life, she's the one at least to consult with, right? And if you move forward and you haven't at least had a conversation with her, you've done yourself a disservice. Someone also that I just really enjoy hanging out with, and I think I talk to him probably even more than just once a week, is Dr. Peter James. Dr. Peter James, come into the conversation, share a little bit about yourself and what in particular in this chapter has got you up early on a Saturday morning.
Good morning to you, Galen. Thank you so much for having me, as usual. Thank you all who are panelists and our special guest, of course, for today. So excited to dive into Think and Grow Rich this morning by Napoleon Hill and organized planning. Wow, such rich nuggets out of this chapter. Can't wait to dive in. Again, my name is Dr. Peter A. James. I am the high performance coach, focusing on helping you and your organization realize your potential. We have a business and leadership coach that focuses on diving in to help you shift your mindset in order to get out of your own way and get to your next level. But today, it's all about organized planning and our special guest today for sure. So back to you, Galen.
Well, fantastic. And I'll tell you guys, you know, if you ever want to see how high you can go, how well you can perform, Dr. Peter James, that is the guy that, again, you need to reach out. You need to check out his content. Amazing, amazing guy. But, you know, one person that, you know, whenever I have a conversation about performance, about achieving your best, I'm usually either quoting Miss Ann McNeil or I'm referencing Miss Ann McNeil. She's the founder of the International Mastermind Association, as well as a lot of other businesses and a lot of other things. But, Ann, please come into the conversation, share a little bit about why I might be raving about the things you challenge us to do on a weekly basis.
Wow, Galen, listen, and for everybody who's listening in, I won't get into the chapter now, no? You
right,
do?
Right.
Need to get, okay, well, Galen told you a little bit about who I am and what I do. I am the master builder, helping to build stronger and better lives, but in particular, helping you to build a stronger and better life. And I do that through the concept of masterminding in every area of our lives. And today, we were sharing prior to coming on the show in our pre-show conversation. And I was sharing that and rereading this chapter in preparation for this show. Since 1979, being in this book, I've always jumped right to the bottom of the page where it talks about when you start talking about organized planning, I always go to the mastermind concept, which the author says you must form a group who were willing to hold you accountable in reviewing your plans. That's the beginning of organized planning. But today, what I saw for the first time was the second paragraph on the first page where, and I'm going to read it. I'll read it, Galen, if it's okay with you and all of our listeners. And I want to be exact in my reading because I got this point so clear this morning, I had to stop and journal my thoughts. And this is what the author says. In chapter one, you were instructed to take 6 definite practical actions as your first move in translating the desire for money into its monetary equivalent. Now, the first chapter says this. You must first know how much money you want. Second, you must know what you're going to do to get the money, what kind of product or service you're going to sell. And then thirdly, by what date? And then fourth, your plan. That is the beginning of organized planning, and that's what brings us here. So Galen and everybody, I got that this morning as clear as clarity could be. Thank you.
So now you guys see why, you know, every one of us, if you know any of us personally or professionally or outside of this show, we're always referencing, well, Ms. Ann said, that's what we get on sometimes a daily basis. And I'm just really, really excited to share this show, to share this conversation with all of you. Now, I've said conversation, I think, 6 or 7 times just in the few minutes that we've been live. And I do want this to be a conversation. So you can join us a couple of different ways. Hopefully you're watching us via Facebook Live. So definitely be prepared to join that link. Click the link, and you can actually be added to our conversation. You can be added to the Zoom session. We've got a number of people already in the audience prepared to ask the questions. You can also call in and be part of the conversation from calling in through Blog Talk Live, which we're also part of. And the way that you do that is by dialing 661-554-9219, and you can listen in to the show, and if you feel compelled to ask a question, which we hope that you do, you can hit #1 on your phone, and you'll be added into the conversation, not only with our panelists, with myself, but also our guest, who we're going to bring in very shortly, Mr. Malachi Monroe. Before we go to our guest, I want to give everyone just kind of a little bit of context as to the system that this chapter sits in. Organized planning is really, really important, but it really could stand on its own as a key concept, but it doesn't. It's part of a system. It's part of a process developed by Napoleon Hill many, many decades ago in 1937. Ursula, would you just kind of read through all of the chapters, all of the principles that's inside of this book so that we can give everyone kind of an appreciation of everything that we're excited about?
Yes, thank you. The first principle is desire. That's the starting point of all achievement. The second is faith, visualization, and belief in the attainment of desire. Third, autosuggestion. It is the medium for influencing the subconscious mind. The fourth step is specialized knowledge. Personal experiences are observations. Fifth, imagination. That is the workshop of the mind. The sixth step is organized planning, the crystallization of desire into action. Seventh, decision, the mastery of procrastination. And eighth is persistence, the sustained effort necessary to influence faith. The ninth step is power of the mastermind, the driving force. The tenth step is the mystery of sex transmutation. And the 11th step is the subconscious mind, connecting the link. And the 12th step is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station for thought. And number 13 is the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom. And then there is the epilogue, how to outwit the sixth ghost of fear. Back to you.
All right. Well, thank you for that. So, I mean, you guys get a sense for how powerful this success formula is. And it really is a life success formula. I've had a number of people come to me and they hear my enthusiasm and reference back to this book, Think and Grow Rich. And they often think of the title and say, yeah, I don't really need to grow rich. I'm doing really well financially. Why should I be concerned? Why should I be interested? And yeah, this is about generating wealth, but man, this is just a success formula about achieving almost anything that you desire and that you deem to be significant. And so that's why we're all successful. But today we're going to do a deep dive in the chapter on organized planning, and we've got a special guest that I have met a couple of times just kind of in passing. We've been kind of in some similar circles, and I think we may have said 15 words to each other combined, right? But this is an opportunity for us to do a deep conversation. And as I read this guy's bio, I'm glad I didn't know about this when I met him, because I'd have been a little intimidated. This guy is easily one of the world's highest performing thought leaders. He's built a brand just basically on his ability to perform at a peak level in whatever industry he finds himself in. He has been on the same stages as some up-and-coming speakers that I don't know that you've heard of, like Les Brown. He's been on some stages with Les Brown. This guy is the real thing. He's been part of Junior Achievement Worldwide. He's been involved with Black Enterprise. This is someone who, if you listen to his story, and I'm going to ask him to share a little bit of it, he was not one of those people that made straight A's all throughout his academic life. But somehow he's gotten to a point where we're all talking about him today all over the world. And so that is just, I think, just a testament of it really doesn't matter where you start from. What matters is your commitment to getting to where you're supposed to be, because I believe that there is absolutely destiny for all of us. So Malachi, I want to bring you into this conversation. Have you tell a little bit more about your story. Share just a little bit as to why folks might be thinking, Galen, you're gushing just a little bit too much. Let's just have a conversation about your background and organized planning in particular. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for welcoming, and thank you to the co-host for giving me the opportunity to join the show. My name is Malachi Monroe. I'm the CEO of Monroe Global, a group of marketing companies here in Miami, Florida. And I'm a speaker, author, and entrepreneur. And I just love the book Think and Grow Rich, as well as, you know, the things that it has taught me, especially over the past few years. Just to know a little bit about me, I graduated from high school in 2017. By the grace of God, I was accepted into someone's university. I went to Morgan State University for about a year and a half. I did the president's list. I did the class president. I did all the scholastic achievements, and I found that this wasn't me. I realized, you know, as I sat in a dorm room one night, it was about 2-3 a.m. I was listening to the words of Dr. Miles Monroe, and he was talking about, you know, one of the biggest achievements or one of the biggest problems that a lot of people find themselves in is they never create the separation of obedience versus wisdom. You know, we live our entire youth lives following instructions, going to school, listening to laws, but we never learn how to make that adjustment from obedience as a child to wisdom as an adult, where we live from what we know, where we live from understanding the sacrifices that have been made for us, where we live from knowing what we're capable of. And in that moment, Galen, I had to ask myself, was I living from obedience or was I living from wisdom? Was I in school because someone told me to, or because I knew that was the way to fast track to my highest potential? And I had to have a really very honest conversation with myself, and I realized that it wasn't it. And so I left school. I said, you know what, I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to give myself 12 months to build a thriving business that can support my life and that I can begin to support my family with. And I did it in about 7 months. And so, you know, I'm super happy to be amongst you today. I'm super happy to be talking about Think and Grow Rich, some of the biggest things that it's taught me, and most importantly, how we can use these lessons to begin to create a bigger change in our lives and in our business.
Well, fantastic. Welcome to the show. I'm just really, really excited. You know, just a small story about when I was first introduced to you. We're going to talk about the annual meeting a little later in this conversation, but it was at the last annual meeting, and we were talking just a little bit, and you shared that you dropped out of college, and I was actually getting ready to get into my high and righteous conversation about, young man, you need to be in college, you need to, and I was ready, it was coming, and then before you finished speaking, you said, and today I've got a thriving six-figure business that earns multiple millions of dollars in revenue, and I've got my apartment or my place in South Beach. And right then, I just didn't feel comfortable with the rest of my speech. My speech didn't roll off. And so, you know, the question that is on top of mind relative to today's topic is, what role does organized planning play in not only your success, but any success that anyone believes they are entitled to relative to a dream or a goal or desire? Because we can all talk about things we want someday, which is absolutely my least favorite phrase, someday. But until you put organized planning behind that dream, it's actually just the conversation. We're actually just practicing. So right. What role has organized planning played in your success, and what role does it play in the success for anyone trying to achieve?
You know, one of the biggest things that I've learned, especially on this journey, especially in the past year, is really the importance of control. And not just control in the sense of the word where, you know, we want to be dominant, we want to assert control over certain situations, but you want to be able to decrease the amount of variables that can throw you off. And organized planning, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about making calculated decisions. It's about doing calculated research to dig deep into, to have more control over creating the outcome that you desire. And, I mean, that was really the biggest breakthrough that I've had for me. And so as we look into the chapters of organized planning, especially in cases where we begin to analyze, you know, the intricacies of leadership and creating either the dream job that you desire, creating the amount of money that you want to attain. Organized planning is the blueprint by which you're able to achieve, because it allows you to take control over the entire process. It allows you to take control over the outcome. It allows you to really begin to be masterful at creating the outcomes that you want in your life and in your business. And so, you know, one of the biggest things for me is really just engaging into the planning process and analyzing, you know, what do I want to achieve? And what are the elements, what are the factors that goes into achieving that to make sure that by a set date and time, I'm able to have the outcome that I want.
Well, fantastic. You know, one of the things you mentioned was control, self-control. One of the things I love about this book is that it does give you an outline of things that you either need to do or things that you need to validate. One of the, you know, every conversation I have seems to somehow come back to leadership. Well, this book talks about leadership. It talks about the 11, actually on page 109, it talks about the 11 major factors of leadership. And as we come back to this, one of those is self-control. See, I think the first one is having unwavering courage. Number two is self-control, which is what you're talking about. Number three is a keen sense of justice. Number four, definiteness of decision, definiteness of plans, which is what you're talking about in particular, the habit of doing more than paid for, having a pleasing personality. Number eight is sympathy and understanding. Number nine is mastery of detail, which is exactly what you just mentioned there, Malachi. Number 10 is a willingness to assume full responsibility. And then the 11th one is cooperation. So this, to your point, this book is literally a blueprint for how you do whatever it is that you're trying to do.
Right.
What are some other pieces of this chapter in particular, organized planning, that you seem to lean on time and time again as a go-to for some of the things that you've achieved?
You know, I think as much as we can look into some of the things that the chapter talks about, especially, you know, the major attributes to leadership, I think we can also pay equal, even more important attention to something as important as the causes of failure in leadership. Because as much as we can get information on how to attract, we can equally use and reverse that information on how to actually repel. And so as I began to read the chapter and especially study certain elements and details, one of the biggest things that I took to was really like the inability to have organized details. And you know, for me, especially as I began to deviate from the set path of, you know, going to school, going to college and getting a great job, I needed to be able to have the intricate details, knowing exactly when did I want to achieve a goal and have a plan, because I couldn't, you know, fall into the pattern of just flying by night. I couldn't fall into the path of guesswork. But the other equally important part for me was the lack of imagination. And, you know, one of the favorite things in this book that talks about is the theater of the mind. And so for me, it was very important to every single morning to begin to plan out that mindset, to become meticulously ingrained with the detail of what I wanted to achieve, and also to spend the time visualizing that. Because the fact of the matter is, your mind can't tell the difference whether something is actually in front of you, whether if it's just something that you're being, you know, visualized about. Your mind can't actually tell the difference between what's real and what's fake. And so I had to place equal important detail on some of these elements. And so I think, you know, the 10 major causes of failure in leadership is one of the biggest points for me as far as this chapter.
Fantastic. And that's detailed on page 112. I mean, this
right.
book literally captures everything. So I got to bring my co-host in, because I can absolutely take up the entire hour talking about leadership.
I think I want to jump in a little early, if that's okay.
Go for it.
Malachi, love your story. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate everything you said. You really dove into this chapter. I'm hearing you extrapolate some of the learnings for the benefit of myself and the benefit of our audience who are listening. So, again, thank you for joining us again. I was on a panel earlier this week, and you know, even though I'm a business and leadership coach, I was on a panel this week that talked about, it was for parents relative to high school seniors, right? Think about it now, how high school seniors are graduating during this period here, thinking about their fall for college, thinking about their future just in general, a lot of unknowns going on overall. And I think your story resonates a little bit. So knowing then what you know now, maybe putting yourself in the shoes of a high school senior or even a parent for that matter, taking organized planning a little bit and even this Think and Grow Rich text into it, what would you advise to a parent about how they should address their student who is thinking about their future, thinking about their career, thinking about college from a Think and Grow Rich perspective?
Well, Peter, I think the biggest question, and I think it's something we can all agree on that, you know, kind of encapsulates the general theme of Think and Grow Rich, is really getting clear on what do you want? Because when you understand what you want, you're able to create a definite endpoint. And so the only thing left is to create the process by which you're able to get there. And I mean, the process can vary, you know, across any different path that you're deciding to go on. But I think understanding what do you want, what do you want to achieve, what does the end result look like, what are you doing this for, or who are you doing this for, rather, that's the most important aspect, because that grants us the clarity to know whether or not our efforts taking us there or not. That grants us the clarity to know whether or not the path that we're on is the path that we're supposed to be on. And even more importantly, when we begin to deviate from that path, it allows us to course correct several times earlier than expected and begin to make that shift. And so I think as a parent or even as a student, knowing exactly what you want, knowing what the end result is, as probable as or not as it may seem, just knowing and having the idea allows you to make the plan to get the process. And you might even discover there are ways to get what you want that you otherwise would not have even known is possible. There are ways to skip steps, so to speak, that allow you to cut the learning curve, that allow you to build mastery. You know, and one of the biggest things for me is especially wanting to be highly involved in business, wanting to be highly involved in ultimately becoming a venture capitalist. You know, one of the ways to do that traditionally over the years has been to go to school and get an advanced business degree and, you know, allow yourself to learn through that method. But another way to do that for me was to actually go and study under the people who've been doing the exact same thing I've wanted to do for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And what that has allowed me to do is to also get real-world experience, but to also build the relationships that I otherwise would not have been able to leverage to allow me to skip the steps that what might have taken them 20 years to achieve, I could do it in 5. And so that's really the overarching goal, understanding what it is you want, because when you understand what it is you want, you can create a definite plan to get there.
I love that. And even what I heard from you a little bit was that even if the plan or the goal was not where you ultimately need to go, you can course correct. That's what I heard you say. 100%. You can course correct
100%.
If you're following a good strategy as well, correct?
Right.
Hey, I got to share some. There's some comments happening here in the Zoom room from another leadership guy, longtime leadership dude, Wyman Winbush. He says, "Yes, Malachi, the quickest way to achieve excellence is to model the behavior of someone who's already walking in excellence. Success, excellence. They always leave footprints, man. They always leave footprints." And I haven't, so Ursula, I haven't seen you smiling like this big in a long time.
I know
you work with young leaders, so go ahead, do your thing.
This is just speaking to me in so many different ways, on so many different levels. And when you hear me say, we make old new in everything we do, old is wisdom, and new is taking that wisdom and making it just explode into a whole new world. So I'm about to blow your cover because you said in the chat room, grandma, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I looked at that, and I'm always saying the word grandma, and I looked at that. I said, oh, he's not talking about me. He's talking about Ann. And so you are the example of what makes me do what I do, because you take all of that wisdom, all of the years of her building on what she knows, you took it all, embodied it, and then you add all the things that you do. So you are the master builder plus the future builder. I just love it. And, you know, you and Ann were on a show that I have called Wisdom and Young Legend, and you are a young legend, but you're building on something that is so wonderful, and I love seeing it. So I'll stop with that. So tell us about your experience working with the master.
I mean, it's, I don't even know where to begin. Whenever I'm able to speak, whenever I'm graced with a platform, I mean, it's no secret, you know, how highly I speak of my relationship with my grandmother, as she's been in all areas my ultimate business coach, my ultimate life coach. And she was the one who introduced me originally to beyond the concepts of Think and Grow Rich, because honestly, we spend a lot of our time outside of the book and really inside of her mind. But she's introduced me to, I mean, an identity and a level of myself that I had to challenge, you know, myself to rise towards. And I remember vividly, just I think over a year and a half ago, just in conversation with her, I realized that a lot of times, even on a journey such as this, where you're taking some of the things that you learn and you're following a set path, and you're following a set vision, you know, one of the key components of the mastermind practice is really allowing yourself to be surrounded with like-minded people, because these are the people who can support you. These are the people who can propel you forward. But most importantly, and most personally to me, these are the people who believe in you until your belief in yourself kicks in. And so, I mean, it's no secret the role that she's played in my life. It's no secret the role that she's affected in the lives of my clients and my students, who aren't even aware of it. And so, you know, I'm just always grateful to be able to share her. I'm always grateful to be able to parade her and show her off. Because, you know, she's been monumental to me, to our group of companies, to the people that we've gone on and impacted. And so, I mean, she's been just amazing as herself.
Okay, you just said something that you just floated right over it. Our group of companies. You are in a group of companies, and you're talking about your grandmother.
Right.
That is what we all would love to be able to do. What is that like, building companies with a family member?
It's unique. It's unique, because a lot of times, you know, we get to see different sides of one another, what it's like to work together, whether it be creating content with one another, whether it be mapping out blueprints for business. And it's also, you know, something that we've been experienced at. A lot of times we do interviews together, dating back years and years ago with Better Investing. You know, we don't draw the line between business and family. We intertwine the two because we support one another in the same regard. And so, you know, as early as I can remember, we would fly out to Wisconsin for the Money Show, and we would speak together. We would host workshops together. She would do the adults. I would do the children and the teen sessions with Ione McNeil, the baby billionaire. And so, I mean, the thing is, I think that's one of the biggest things that I've noticed is we don't draw the line. We include one another just as much as we do business. We do family together. We'll drive to a conference and host a workshop together, drive home and eat dinner together. And that's one of my favorite aspects of what we've built and what we continue to hone as family, because it allows us to go several layers deeper, because we can offer feedback, we can offer support, and offer mutual mentorship in pretty much all areas of our lives.
Thank you. I have more to ask with.
All right, Miss Anna, I see you smiling in a way that I don't normally see you smiling when we have other guests on this show. What does it mean for you to hear not only your family member, but your grandchild say some of the things and reference some of the accomplishments that he's had, and pin a lot of that success back to organized planning, Thinking Grow Rich, something that you've dedicated a big portion of your life to. What thoughts are going to your going through your mind that's creating such a gentle and comforting smile on your face?
Galen, excuse me. Of course, I'm clearing my breath. I mean, I'm clearing my throat because I am choked up. And I want everybody to take a moment and to think about this. You got to give me a moment here. This is very emotional. What if when I read this book in 1979, December 31st, come on, somebody. What if I quit? What if I did not have a dream? What if I did not have a desire to save money? What if when it got hard, homeless, broken? What if I didn't have this book as a plan to pursue my dream? What if, and I'm talking to every single one of you, it's not about me, it's not about Malachi, it's not about these hosts. It's about you, whoever you are, wherever you are. All we're doing here is just providing a vehicle through Malachi to talk to the youth. So when you asked me that question, Galen, I'm sitting here listening to Malachi like so many other guests. And I am challenged to challenge myself more and everybody that listens as I talk about clarity. Because in our family, we didn't have a manual. Everything you hear us talking about, what Malachi is saying, nobody gave us a script to say, this is how you do it. And so that's what I am feeling. And I when I feel choked up, I have to say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory for my struggle, for my challenge, for everything that I've gone through, I'm going through, and I will go through in order to draw others to him and to this process. So that is what my that's really what I'm feeling, Galen. And I would like to, if I may, ask Malachi a question. May I?
Please do.
Okay. Malachi. I have to share this. Malachi calls me Grandma Tron. That's our that's another story for another day. But Malachi, I really would like for you to share your first memory of being introduced to the book. Even though we're talking about organized plans, I think it's very important, going back to Peter's question about the parents. And you are probably one of the youngest people we've had on this show. And I think that there are many parents and grandparents who are listening to this program and this audio, because it is evergreen, that will look to you. They'll only hear your voice. They won't hear my voice or any of the co-host's voice. And so, Peter, thank you for that question. It was a great question, because family is why we do this, whatever this is, for each of us. So I'd like for you to share your journey, our journey, and your first memory of being introduced to this book.
So my first memory of being introduced to Think and Grow Rich probably encompasses every element of the chapter of organized planning. Years ago, almost 12, 15 years ago, we used to go on trips. We used to travel to different places, whether it be for conferences or just leisure trips. And at some point in time, I began to have the goal of wanting to write a book. And so for years, we would go on the trip, but there was still no book being published. And so for 1 year, my grandmother said, so in order to do the trip this year, you need to write the book. And she told me in enough time that allowed me to plan the process, to write the book, to figure out who the publisher was going to be, to figure out what the book was going to be about, to figure out how I was going to distribute the book. And I finished the book in time. I went on the trip, which I believe was Black Enterprise in, I think it was Philadelphia. And in that moment, it was just so happened that as I was selling my books at the Black Enterprise conference between the, you know, between the hallways and between the lobbies, I met a Fox News correspondent who then gave me my first bit of press, and I was able to be interviewed on Fox News and continue to sell the book. But in that moment, I think that process years ago showed me how when you create a plan and you create action steps to follow the plan, how much likely you increase the possibilities of success. And this, again, speaks towards something I spoke of earlier in just taking control and increasing your threshold of control, where you decrease the amount of variables, you decrease the likelihood of something coming in and not allowing you to achieve the success in whatever area of it was. And so when I saw that happen 12, 13, 14 years ago, that allowed me ultimately to learn the blueprint, and not only to learn it, but to create the foundation for me to replicate it in every area of my life, every single year up until now.
So just so that the public understand the age, Malachi was 9 years old. He was nine when he wrote his first book, nine. And so I say that because something Malachi shared with me actually years ago. Can I share your age now, B?
I'm 20.
Malachi is 20. He's 20 years old now. At one point, Malachi was like in the top 1% on Twitter. And he did this this video, a little short video, and he shared with me, came to me, and he said, I remember hearing Les Brown, Jim Rohn, and all these people you would listen to in the car, in the house, everywhere. And as a result of that, subliminally not realizing, and now we're talking about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And so when I mentioned earlier, what if I'd quit? What if I did not have a strategic plan for my life to have a personal development program? My point is all of our family members represent us, whether we want, whether we like it or not, or whether we want to agree with it. And so, Malachi, thank you for sharing that. I just want to make sure that for parents, we all understand that the kids are never, they're never too young. So thank you, Galen. Back to you. Can't hear you, Galen.
Absolutely. Well, this has been great. And, you know, one of the things I've heard you guys talk about a couple of times, and certainly, Malachi, my first introduction to you was at the annual meeting. I would love to have you just talk a little bit about what is this annual meeting thing, and how would you describe it to someone who has absolutely no idea what Thinking Grow Rich is? It's almost sounding almost cultish how we're fawning over this book, this process. What is this annual meeting, and how does it relate to Thinking Grow Rich from your perspective?
The annual meeting, if I just had to describe it to someone who's just, it just doesn't seem like they're getting it. The annual meeting is like in math, where you break down the formula to achieve the result. The annual meeting is how you solve for X. And it's simply because, and I don't know where else you get to do this, but in the top of the year, in the first week, the first weekend of January, you're able to sit down in a room of like-minded masters and almost every area of life, from business, from finance, from public service, from, you know, civic organizations. You're able to sit down in a room with like-minded individuals who are masters of their craft and break down to almost the dollar and the day, to the second and the minute, of what you want to achieve and how you do it. And in fact, the annual meeting has been so impactful for me that at the last one, I brought my dad from the Bahamas and my little sister from the Bahamas, because it was so important, especially at her age of 7, to begin to see that, yes, she sees me traveling. Yes, she sees me. I'm able to fly and come see her whenever I'd like to. But there is a process that allows that to happen. There is a blueprint. There is a foundation that's been set that allows things like that to take shape. And so at her age of 7, we have a children's workshop where they can begin to practice their visualizations with something that I remember years ago at New Birth we did with the vision board, where it's as simple as going into magazines and doing cutouts of the things that you want in life, to even as adults where we're becoming very, very ingrained in the details of the legacy that we want to live. We engage in legacy planning, whether that's, you know, writing out your will. We engage in really beginning to break down how to achieve your corporate greatness, whether that's how to get that dream job, or even for teenagers and those who are graduating into the workforce, how to set yourself up to be the ideal candidate for recruiters and companies alike. And so, you know, on January 9th, 2021, I will be again at the annual meeting, and I will challenge myself to bring forth 2 or more new people that otherwise would not have been able to find such an amazing event. Because under the next year's theme of crystallizing your vision, I believe this is even more important to engage in. I believe, you know, it's a process that you should just become to be lean in more to every single year. And it's just an amazing opportunity to catch up with everybody, to set the foundation for the year, and to begin to hit the ground running.
Fantastic. Go ahead.
I'd like to ask a question, and I'll tell you why I'm about to go to this level. I have realized that I buy a lot of software, and I made a spreadsheet of all of these things that I've purchased, how much they cost, and then it forced me to say, am I getting value out of this? What do I want out of this? And either I keep it or I don't, because it sucks up resources.
Right.
Yeah, maybe I can afford it, but should I?
Right.
So when I think of that level of detail, it makes me wonder, what's the day in the life of Malachi like? How do you have the self-control? What are you doing? We see you flying high, but what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
On a day-to-day basis, let's just take a regular day. I wake up at about 5:30, 6 a.m. Some mornings I wake up at about 3 and go back to sleep to about 6. And I do my meditation, my theater of the mind. I have my affirmations. For years, when I left school and I ultimately had to move home, one of the biggest affirmations, you know, Malachi lives in a $1.9 million condo overlooking Miami, and he drives a red metallic Tesla Model X. And so I achieved the apartment part of it, and I just went to go test drive the car about 2-3 days ago, and I FaceTimed Grandma's. As we begin to just reflect on the process. After that, I begin to look at what my schedule is like for the day, what meetings do I have, what clients do I have obligations to see. And I just engage into the process. And, you know, it's important to note that my day doesn't start without planning, but my day also doesn't start without visualizing and engaging in the mindset. And so, you know, that really speaks to, there's no level at which you're finished. Right, there is no level at which you're done. A lot of people think you use these things until you gain proficiency. It's not like, you know, a bike with no training wheels where you just take the training wheels off and you're done forever. These are things that are basically vitamins of life that you engage in, that you intake daily, so that you're able to reap the benefits and never fall into, you know, plateaus where you're sick, so to speak. Where that may look like, you know, you lost your job and you have no hope. Whether that may look like, you know, your kids are acting up in school, which my parents can totally attest to, and you don't know what to do. These are preventative measures that allow you to gain and maintain the utmost clarity and vision. And it's something that, you know, I engage every single day.
Hey, Malachi, I want to jump on in on this conversation about the day in the life of Malachi. And I'm going to get a little bit deeper on you. I want you to share a little bit of your apartment for sure. So we're at the accountability meeting as well. So thank you so much for joining us there. But I'm curious, man. I wish I knew at 20 what you know now. So kudos to you for that. But I'm very curious about, and maybe you can share with us about some of the things that you have on your wall from a visual perspective. So I saw some things that are on your wall, and I kind of think I know what they are, but do you mind sharing a little bit about what you have posted there a little bit, please?
So this goes back to what Ms. Odom brought in earlier, and the separation of family and business. And so what I have on my wall is actually the planning of my grandmother's business, an element of her speaking consulting business, where she came here for a few days, and we mapped out in immense detail using the mastermind formula the outcome that she wanted and the different ways that we made it able for her to get there. And so, I mean, this is, you know, that's only one example of just how we live this process, even, you know, at 20, even having some accomplishments, we're still nowhere near being done. And, you know, we're just as much involved in it now as she herself was involved in almost, you know, 30 years ago.
I love that. And I know everyone who's listening, no matter what your age is, this organized planning, this mastermind, this even just having brainstorming with family or like-minded individuals is so valuable. But that's just the first step. Maybe making it visual, as Malachi is doing here, putting it on the walls, may be something that is a thing. So just something to think about. What do you think, Galen?
Oh, my. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, that just shows how this process is not just a process. It has to be a way of life.
Right.
There's only power if you use this as a way of thinking, as a way of being. And so I got a question. I don't know who this question is directed to. Malachi, I definitely want your perspective. Maybe Ms. Ann as well. What would you say to, because I've got a lot of friends that, as I said earlier, say, you know, Galen, I'm not money hungry. Why would I read this book? You know, my life is not surrounded by infatuation with being rich. Why would I read this book? And how would you explain to them the impact of this book in helping you achieve whatever you desire in life, including money, but not limited to just money?
You know, to see it just as money is very one-dimensional. Because, I mean, when we look at something like a nice apartment, when we look at something like a nice car, it's less about, to me, the tangibility of the thing and more so what it represents.
I mean, it's really about the fact that, listen, I've sowed so much value. I've become so valuable to other people that in exchange, they want to give me something that they also consider to be a valuable asset. But even beyond money, I mean, money is just one outcome. There's also the ability to have time. One of the biggest things that I wanted, I didn't want to be that entrepreneur that doesn't have time for family. I didn't want to be that entrepreneur that could not invest in other areas, the lives of people that I love. And so sometimes I decide to stop work at 10 a.m. and I go spend the day with my mom and my sister. But I mean, even with, you know, the civic goals and other opportunities, being able to become involved in community organizations, being able to, in times like these where we're seeing racial injustice, not just say that's nice on TV, but to be able to leave and partake in peaceful protests that allow you to make changes, that allow you to donate money to organizations, and more importantly, to go on the front lines and teach, to educate the next generation of Black entrepreneurs, to educate the next generation of people who want to pursue high achievement. So whatever area of your life, you know, that might be your goal, whether you're well-achieved and, you know, you're a multi-millionaire, or whether you're someone who's just never been attracted to, you know, a lifestyle that money brings you, or whether you're more so intimate in wanting to have better relationships with your family, wanting to have better relationships with your significant other, the outcome is the exact same way as long as you calculate the process. You can achieve the exact same outcome of multifaceted wealth in other areas just as much as you can in a very physical, finite way, like money. And so, you know, when you get into the process, you may join it to learn how you can manifest and calculate a certain level of wealth and riches to your life, but you quickly begin to understand that the real power is in using this process to calculate anything, whether, you know, it's money, whether it's relationships, whether it's better relationships with the family. And I think that's the biggest breakthrough that I've had, where is, you know, you join it for one thing and you realize that it's way bigger than you thought it could be.
Oh my, oh my.
Yeah, I can pick. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I want to pick up on where he stopped, because what I am learning, going to the point about the fact that it's not about the money, but it is who you become in the process, going to his point, of learning how to make it, right? I'm learning that what the author has done is he's pulled me in. He's pulled you in. He's pulled all of us in the first chapter talking about the money. But in the process of learning how to make that first amount, because the amount is going to always go up, we must grow. And my favorite of all time book says, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you see. And so as we grow and we learn, we can now teach what we learn and teach others how to earn. So that to me is what the value has been as a part of this process.
Fantastic. Well, I'd love to go around and just get key ahas from everyone. What are some of the things, and Ursula, I'll start with you. What are some of the key things that you got from this conversation or from rereading and going through the chapter again? But what's jumping out at you as being significant relative to this conversation, Ursula?
Well, first, the book on page 106, it talks about basically never quitting. And once you have that plan, you know, you have to believe in it. How bad do you want it? And are you willing to stick to it until you get it? And this conversation, it's a lifetime, several lifetimes of a plan. And there's no end to this, because like a ripple in a pond, you have no idea how much of an effect you're going to have on the lives of others. And that's what I see happening here. And I'm going to change that from a pond to an ocean. You're creating waves. And I'm just enjoying being a part of this learning experience between the book and this family.
Well, fantastic. Dr. Peter, what did you get out of this conversation, man?
Yeah, such good stuff. Malachi, again, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, even from the perspective of the book not being about getting rich and getting wealthy alone, that resonated. I know hopefully resonates for so many listeners as they walk away from this conversation. I loved also how Malachi talked about obedience versus wisdom. Ooh, that was priceless. I wanted him to say that like about three times. So thank you so much for manifesting that to a certain extent for all of us there, Malachi, because a lot of us are good at following rules, but we're not good at really identifying what's necessary for our own lives and following that path.
Right.
And I think the Think and Grow Rich provides us a lot of principles that we can identify for our own selves as well. Thank you so much again. Ms. Ann, I think you're next.
Wow. I started off by saying the six steps. And from the six steps to the mastermind concept. And from the mastermind concept, the rest of this is unfolding in the area of accountability. But I would like to give a couple of ahas from me, from Malachi's comments. One was about the vitamins of life.
Mm.
And I think that was so powerful, because for those of us that are health conscious, just like being success conscious, that's a visual that I can see. And I know I take my vitamins every day. And so the other one was the point he made about how as we age, I'm paraphrasing, but as we age, we tend to maybe not do the vision boards. We talked about the kids doing the vision boards as a part of our annual meeting process. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, we say the annual meeting. Just imagine a meeting for your life once a year, and you bring your entire family, and you're able to focus on the family together in all the areas that that were talked about. And actually, Galen, since we're not doing that commercial anymore, we really don't talk about the 10 areas because it was on the previous commercial. So for those of you who are listening for the very first time, the 10 areas in which we focus on as a part of International Mastermind Association is your spiritual, family, financial, health, education, your personal development, your business and or your career, your recreation, creativity, and your civic. And what we do is we set goals for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And right now I'm in my 40th year from goals I set 40 years ago. So with that backdrop in mind, we come together once a year with our families. And I'm so proud to have Mr. Wyman Wimbush on with us today because he's one of those individuals. And I was hoping Malachi would talk about the men in his life, especially his dad and his grandfather, Mr. Valentino Monroe and Mr. Daniel McNeil and the impact. But Wyman Wimbush, like many men, bring their families to this. So when Malachi said about the youth doing their vision board presentation, the aha for me is that as we age, as adults, we tend to not do that vision board exercise because the visualization is what cements these organized plans. So that was just two major aha's for me.
Okay, fantastic. And then we've got a, Malachi, as we go to you, we've got a question from Facebook where Catherine Woodhouse says he couldn't get to six figures within a year without planning his monthly expected income. How in the world did you do that? So, I mean, I think that's a great question. I'd love for you to kind of respond to that and then just kind of share any key concepts, any key ahas that jump out to you from this conversation. I'd love for you to share that. Okay.
So I remember when I first started exploring the idea of the possibility of leaving school, my grandmother's always been someone who just put things in perspective. She's not necessarily positive, not necessarily negative. She's just extremely real. And so I remember we were at lunch one day, and she pulled out a napkin, and we started mapping out what life was like not in school. And I don't know if it was to scare me. I don't know if it was to deter me from the decision. But what I took from that was that this is real, that life is real. And as we mapped out every expense, from living expenses and rent and bills and food, I realized that there is no way to successfully do this without having a calculated plan. So what that allowed me to do is to realize, what did I need to be alive at like a very basic level? Like, how would I survive the next 365 days of not being sent money as a college student, of not living in a dorm, of not having a meal plan? And what did I need to thrive? And what would I be able to do to create a balance between the two? And in that moment, I didn't see it as valuable as it was for me, because now more than ever, I understand how big of a foundation that was, and just realigning my mindset and really helping me, like I mentioned earlier, make that switch from living from a place of obedience to living from a place of calculated wisdom. And so when we look at what my biggest takeaway has been so far in this conversation, I think one of the leading ones is the fact that
having a reminder to myself, being able to course correct, being able to self-adjust, and just to remind myself and to remind the people who might be listening, who might go back and watch this, that, you know, this is the blueprint. You know, one of the biggest things that Les Brown always said as I travel with him is that success leaves clues. Whether you choose to ignore them or adhere to them is entirely up to you. And so I think, you know, looking at a group of successful individuals as we end this conversation, I think success has left clues in all areas of our lives. But I think one of the biggest commonalities and the biggest common factors is that we all follow the blueprint. And that's what allows us to all achieve the varying levels of success in the different areas of our life. And that's the Ann McNeil Fingerovich process.
Wow. Well, there you have it, guys. I mean, there you have it. This thing, this book, this process, this family, this is how you achieve whatever it is you say you want to achieve. And I just feel honored to be a part of this mastermind group, a part of this conversation, not only every Saturday morning, but what a lot of people don't realize is that we meet two other times during the week to talk about the principles of this book, yeah, to talk about the show, but also just to understand how these principles might apply to what we're each trying to achieve in our businesses, in our lives, in our families. And this it always comes back to things that we've read in this book. And I'm always fond of saying I've read this book 8 or 9 times, and every time I read it, I see something that I am absolutely convinced was not there before. And that's because the book hasn't changed, but I've changed. And things that might not have applied to me 2 weeks ago are absolutely front and center to some problem I'm trying to solve, some goal that I'm trying to achieve. So if you don't have this book in your library and you have goals that you're trying to achieve, you are swimming against the current. And so as we close down this episode of our show, I want to leave you with these words. And these are the words of Dee Hock, who is the founder and CEO emeritus of Visa. And he says, control is not leadership. Management is not leadership. Leadership is leadership. If you seek to lead, you have to invest at least 50% of your time in leading yourself. That's understanding your purpose, your ethics, your principles, your motivation, your conduct, what it is that you are here to do. Invest at least 20% of your time leading those with authority over you, and then 15% of your time leading peers. And that's exactly what you've heard, hopefully, that you've taken from this conversation. That is the path to success. That is the path to achieving whatever you set out to achieve, and that is what I wish for you. So with that, I want to thank you. Until next time, please go forth, think, and grow rich. Take care.
Goodbye.